This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
I think what I'll do, sit right in the middle of them. See what happens. So if I do this, and then I move around, and I was really brave and kept moving and moving and moving, I would probably fall right through the middle. Right? Luciano Pavarotti tells this story of when he was a little boy. He says, "When I was a boy, my father, a baker, introduced me to the wonders of song. He urged me to work very hard to develop my voice. Arrigo Poia, a professional tenor in my hometown of Modena, Italy, took me as a pupil. I also enrolled in a teacher's college. On graduating, I asked my father, shall I be a teacher or a singer? Luciano, my father replied, if you try to sit on two chairs, you will fall between them. For life, you must choose one chair. I chose one, he continues. It took 7 years of study and frustration before I made my first professional appearance, and then it took another 7 years before I made it to the Metropolitan Opera. And now, I think, whether it's laying bricks, writing a book, whatever we choose, we should give ourselves to it completely. Commitment, that's it. Choose one chair." When Pavarotti picked singing as his career, I dare say that he was choosing God's will for himself, choosing what he was meant to do in this world. Few are as gifted. Whether we're talking career choice, where we're going to live, who we choose for friends, there's a deeper consultation that we can have with God before making that choice. When faced with a big decision or even little ones, today's parable is urging us to live our lives in sync with God, to make that commitment every day, to pick a chair. Life following God or life thinking that we don't need God. There's a little prayer I've been saying for years, first thing every morning. Guide my way. Guide my day, guide my every move. It's really easy. And then I set off, usually straight to the coffee pot. This realization of asking for God's will in everything, picking that chair, is what Jesus means by righteousness. And though not always easy, that intention brings strength and courage, and it grows and grows the more we do it, becoming a peace that passes understanding, even in the midst of tragedy and in the midst of joy. There's a peace that passes understanding. Jesus describes John the Baptist as righteous in today's gospel. And to use that term righteous would have been really common for the people of that day to hear. They knew this word righteous and righteousness. We don't use it quite the same way today. But they would have understood it, that it means living a life of honesty in doing God's will. And though we won't always measure up, we get back right to it. And we repent and we turn back again and again and again. Well, Jesus was living a life of righteousness when the chief priests and the elders confronted him in the temple that day. Now, what we have to understand is that the setting of that day was Holy Week, basically. We call what we call Holy Week now, the week between Palm Sunday and Easter. So it was a very tense, emotional time. They had been after him for a long time, trying to trick him. And he's in the temple. And prior to that, right after the riding into Jerusalem on the donkey, he had turned over the tables, gotten mad at the money changers cheating people in the temple. He had healed the lame and the blind right in the temple. And the chief priests and the elders were getting more and more frustrated and more concerned about losing their own power. And so they come to him and they confront him, basically saying it would be like somebody standing up in here and saying, "Who do you think you are?" That's basically what happened. By whose authority do you do these things? And they knew. They knew deep down what was going on. And they wouldn't be able to answer Jesus' question back to them, even though, being a good rabbi, that question back to them was trying to pull them out, to draw them in, to help them see the error of their ways, and to admit that John the Baptist knew it all the time, and then would go on to declare Jesus as the Messiah. But they didn't. They're choosing the wrong chair because of their own pride and their own ego. Now, not to minimize the intensity of the gospel, I'm reminded of a story that illustrates how clueless they were because of their egos and their zest for their own power and thinking they were all that. A young businessman had just started his own firm, and he rented this beautiful office, and he was all puffed up and thinking how great he was going to be, and he sees somebody walking in, you know, the little vestibule area, coming toward his office, and so he picks up the telephone and he's pretending to be working on a really big deal. He figures that this will impress the guy and he'll be able to really, you know, then get a big deal from this guy. And he's throwing huge figures around and making giant commitments on the phone. And finally he hangs up and he says to the visitor, "May I help you?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I'm here to hook up your phone system." He was full of himself. All he cared about was how he was coming across to everybody else. And that is exactly what the chief priests and the elders of that community were doing for appearances. They never even considered the question Jesus was asking. If they had, maybe they could have come to that truth. But they didn't. And then he told them about this importance of choice with that parable of the two sons. One said that he wouldn't go and then did, and one said he would go and then he didn't. And now, Jesus points out to them, convicts them of the error of their own ways, by saying that even the prostitutes and the tax collectors listened to John and turned around. And they're going into the kingdom of heaven before you, which, by the way, helps give them a little hint that they still can. All they have to do, too, is just turn and discover the kingdom of God for themselves. Always hopeful. And he's saying it's better to be a repentant sinner than a hypocritical saint. You know, lots of us have been in the position, I know I have, where it's do as I say, not as I do. Right? Sometimes with our children, sometimes with other people. And this is about the commitment that Luciana Pavarotti was talking about, too. We make a commitment of what we stand for and what we don't stand for. And it's times like this in our church, when we have a death of somebody so close, that it kind of fine-tunes what's really important in our lives and brings us closer and closer and closer to not only one another, but to God, because that's how it works. Once we are close to one another, we are closer to God. You get closer to God in prayer, and you are closer to one another. We're pulled in to being our true selves, not our false selves, as Thomas Keating writes about, not trying to go it alone. So I would invite you now, I'm going to pull up a chair and pretend that talking to God here, and you'll notice in your pews that there were cards like this. And if you'd like, you could say this prayer with me. I know it's one of Marty's favorites. I think you carry it in your wallet. And I know you've probably heard this before, but it is just so perfect for today. If you say it with me, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.